Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Kristen, I have a question for you about children with autism in general. Do you counsel and give information for parents on how they can naturally help to build the child's system? And maybe your ideas for helping to, I don't know, of course, dealing with diet and supplements, of course, but, you know, do you have a protocol that seems to be working, or is it one of those where one size doesn't fit all?
You know, it's really, we have a foundation, but not a protocol. And I wish it was a one size fits all.
Yeah.
And I often, you know, mention in my lectures, I say, raise your hand if you've ever bought a one size fits all t-shirt. And people raise their hands, and I say, raise your hands if it fits you perfectly. And you know, often that doesn't, it's just not the case. But our foundation always is to, you know, really look at the foods and really try. We notice, though, that removing the gluten and removing the dairy and really finding good supplements that make sense and, like you said, are made very well and have standards. And then also finding that doctor that can really do a good workup, whether it be, you know, looking at the blood to find out deficiencies, like, we didn't know our son had a B12 deficiency for quite some time, you know, until we got those tests done. And looking for, you know, sometimes they take a hair sample, a urine sample, a stool sample. We try to get our blood work and everything done every few months. And then right now, even today, we are collecting stool from our son for the next 3 days to try to do another test to try to see, you know, what's really going on in his system. So that's the kind of protocol, quote-unquote, loosely, that I would suggest is to really, you know, try to find somebody that you can work with that can help you understand what's going on the inside of your kid.
Natasha, we need to understand more about the role of probiotics and, of course, how to choose it wisely. Are there specific strains that you feel are the most beneficial for children with autism?
Yes, specifically since I've been doing this for 45 years, mm-hmm. I go back to what Mother Nature, you know, provided us. And over millenniums, we have now seen through published research that mother's milk was designed to specifically stimulate the growth of a bifidobacteria infantis in the newborn infant. And I was alarmed, you know, in the 1980s and rang the bell of alarm and told everybody, hey, look, it's not good that this bacteria is disappearing even in vaginally born healthy children in westernized countries. And, of course, nobody even knew what bifidobacteria was, let alone would even listen to me. And what I feel is that, you know, when you have an autistic child, that particular bacteria sets the foundation to make the immune system more tolerant and, you know, interacts with the immune system in the gut to produce the right results. So many times, as I've told Kirsten, we do single strains of bacteria and we add one by one. And that way, you know, we know what proper combination will work for the autistic child. But my recommendation is always to start with a pure bifidobacteria infantis, nothing else mixed into it. And we do provide one now on a organic brown rice meal. And then you can add acidophilus for the small intestine. You can add the other bifidobacteria bifidum for the large intestine. And then we have a transient bacteria, which is called bulgaricus. And all four of these bacteria, you know, scientifically have been proven to function on different levels inside the gut. And when you throw in unregulated products or you don't know which bacteria really have because there's zero regulation by any government agency of what, you know, the label states on a probiotic product and what really is contained within the product. And without that knowledge, since you're dealing with a very complex ecosystem, you have no idea what it is that you're giving your child. And when your child is compromised, such as it is in autism, you have to take as much care in choosing the supplement as you do choosing the diet in the exercise program. And I want to remind everybody that probiotics are living beneficial bacteria, and they have to stay alive during manufacture, delivery, warehousing, and they have to be in efficacious amounts for that strain in order to, you know, survive the GI, the stomach acid in order to thrive in the GI tract. And if that doesn't happen, if all of that criteria isn't covered, and you're just throwing a bunch of bacteria and people make outrageous claims about this bacteria doing this and that bacteria doing that, we're not going to get to the heart of the issue, and we're not going to be able to help our children. So we have to have the standard for probiotics as we have to have for omega-3s or for enzymes. For everything that we give our child, we have to be able to prove that the manufacturer that's selling us that product is, you know, overseen by some government agency, and that they're actually giving their child what's stated on the label, especially if the child is compromised with something as challenging as autism. And so you're going to see a lot of research, and the research is coming out daily that, you know, probiotics early in life may reduce Asperger's and attention deficit disorder, which may develop later in the child's, life. So we're going to see all these little things thrown at us, and we're going to run, oh, I'm going to get this product because, look, it's, this study showed this. Oh, no, look, there's a new study. I'm going to go run out and get that product. That's not the point. The point is that you have to understand which bacteria to give and which properties these bacteria have that can help the child change the ecosystem inside of their gut. That's what's the most important thing, not to run out and buy an unstandardized product, even if they claim to have a study behind them, because that unstandardized product will not get you relief. And the problem is that you're going to be turned off to the concept of probiotics, because you're going to say, gee, you know, I went to my health food store and I bought some probiotics and they didn't do any good to me. And so therefore I'm turned off to the concept of probiotics. That's like telling me that, you know, all food is bad because there's some, you know, a processed food that's bad for you. That's like telling me, well, no food is obviously good for you because I'm getting a reaction from all of it. So I'm making a little bit of a overwhelming analogy, but the analogy is that we have lost common sense. The health food industry was given a chance to self-regulate, you know, in the 1990s, and we chose not to do it, even though we had the setup. And now we have serious issues. And so it's regardless of, you know, what the product is. If the product is not standardized, if the diet is not specific to the child, if we don't take specific measures to understand what we're testing and what the results show, we are not going to make progress, and we're going to have more and more suffering, because let me tell you, the statistics are not going down. They're going up for type 2 diabetes. They're going up for metabolic syndrome. They're going, you know, now we even know that the bacteria in our gut are associated with, fatty liver. Mm-hmm. It just, daily the problems keep mounting up, and that non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is part of malnutrition, and malnutrition only occurs because, you know, what's going on in the gut. So you may ask yourself, why is Natasha talking about type 2 diabetes or, you know, non-alcoholic fatty liver or obesity or, you know, mood swings? What has that got to do with my child's autism? It has everything to do because, as I said earlier, that, you know, virtually 90% of all the chemicals that are produced in the gut affect how your brain functions, affects how your body nourishes or not nourishes itself. This is where we're failing to understand, and we're looking from the pharma model to get a, you know, specific, you know, pill or a specific agent to take care of a symptom, and we're not looking at the process and the problem holistically.
Kristen, let me ask you a question. Do you think there are varying degrees of autism? I mean, I've worked with Down syndrome in the past, and there's lighter versions of the Down syndrome, and of course there's very advanced cases. Same thing with autism as well, lighter and more extreme?
Yeah, absolutely. You have some children that have more mild, then more mild to moderate, and then severe, and, you know, and some, you know, even in within the diagnosis, they have PDD-NOS, which is pervasive development disorder not otherwise specified, which some could say is a more milder version. And then, you know, even within the autism spectrum disorder huge group, I mean, every child just so different. My son was diagnosed with severe, and now we have him, depending on the range, somewhere in the more moderate, and then some categories mild. So it's very, probably very similar to the Down syndrome community that you worked with.
Well, let me ask you another question. If people are looking for information and they want to get more information, obviously we want them to, you know, really do the research and ask the right questions about nutrition and probiotics. But how do they get a hold of the Autism Hope Alliance?
They can go to our website, which is autismhopealliance.org, and they can click on the resource section. They have plenty of resources there. They can email us there. They can find us on our Facebook page or our Twitter page. We always put tons of information there as well. And then we also just finished up an online summit that they can go to autismhopesummit.com and still check out, you know, that summit. We had 31 speakers. Natasha was one of them. She did a fabulous job talking about probiotics and the gut. And so that's available to them as well. I know the free part is over, but it's at a very discounted price even today. So they can look at that as well.
Are you using probiotics presently with your child?
I am, absolutely.
And how's that going?
You know, for us, we've always been a big, big believer in probiotics. And so, you know, we've tried lots of different brands. And some brands, as Natasha was talking about prior, you know, some brands that we tried, it seemed not to be the great fit for him. He got very aggressive. And then, you know, once you start finding the right dose and the right brand, our son is thriving. Right now, we've just switched over and, you know, trying a brand now. And Natasha's been kind of helping us through that and letting us know where to kind of start and how to go slow. And so far, I mean, we've seen great things. There's been no negative reactions whatsoever. And, you know, that's really what we want to look for. We want to look for a healthy child from the inside out and with no, you know, hard die-offs or hard reactions.
Is autism more stemmed toward male or female? Are there more little boys than little girls, or is it evenly split?
No, it's more boys than girls. If
it
you
is.
Line up five children, four out of the five will be boys.
Really?
Yeah, so we don't know the answer to that. We don't know why that is, but it's definitely more common with boys than it is girls.
I did not know that. I'm glad I asked that. I've been wondering, and I think to myself, you know, is it a crazy question? No, I guess not.
No. I mean, we're seeing more girls emerge. However, it's still way more common for boys.
You know, I think the hard part also is the frustration of the snail's pace that you have to approach this whole health situation with autism, because it's not going to change overnight. It's going to be a very slow process. And let me ask you a question on a personal level. How do you stay in the moment?
You know, we think of it as not a sprint, but a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always think, you know, for those moments that are hard, especially let's say your child has a meltdown and the meltdown might last 15 to 20 minutes or longer. I try to look at the day as a whole. So let's say that meltdown lasted for that amount of time. Well, there were still 23-plus hours in that day that positive change could have taken place. Also, the meltdown gives me clues onto what I need to change or what I need to work on. And so I look at it as, you know, I take each day and I look back at where he started. And he started with no language, no eye contact, you know, at the 15-month mark. And, you know, where he is today, he's riding a bike and, you know, he loves the beach, and he loves amusement parks, and he loves rock climbing now, and he does gymnastics and karate. And I just think, gosh, you know, I was told he was never going to look and never going to talk, and that he was going to be in a group home by the time he was 8 years of age. And he's 14, and he has, you know, basically trumped anything that the doctor said he couldn't do. He's already beat all the odds on that. And I just have to believe that he's going to continue to climb that ladder. And I often think of stroke victims. You know, stroke victims years ago, we were told that they lost their mobility in their arms, or if they lost their ability to speak, that was it. Well, today we all know somebody that had a stroke that was able to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And if an 80-year-old person can have a stroke and overcome those odds, why can't a 14-year-old continue to grow? And why can't we continue to make our children's gut healthy and their brain healthier? And we just don't know enough. So I just look at it every day and say, I'm not going to give up. And, you know, I was here to help my son, and my son is my world. And I feel so blessed because he has been the greatest teacher. And even on the hardest moments, I look at him, and every time he looks at me or smiles or says, I love you, Mommy, you know, my heart just gets filled of joy, and my eyes, you know, swell up because I realized that that wasn't supposed to happen for if I would have listened to those doctors. And those doctors told me that diet was hogwash. And I just kept thinking, well, all these thousands of parents are talking about this. You know, there has to be something to it. So when people think, you know, how do I do this or I want to give up, just realize, you know, if one child can progress, that means all of our kids have hope and that we don't have to give up.
You know, Natasha, a lot of people that are listening are thinking, you know, almost the simplicity of really taking a look at the gut and realizing that the gut is the brain for the body. Yet, of course, the process is, of course, very intricate at the same time.
You know, I talked about the gut-brain axis even before Dr. Gershon wrote his famous book, The Second Brain, and I had colleagues come up to me and tell me that I'm going to completely discredit myself if I keep talking about such nonsense. And I just told them, I know bacteria. I know that they're prolific. I don't believe there's any place in the body that's sterile. I think we're just peeling back, you know, the layers of how bacteria affect us. And I truly believe that, you know, until we start understanding the complexity of the gut, we're going to see the rise of obesity, type 2 diabetes, the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. We're going to see depression, anxiety, Asperger's, attention deficit, autism. All of these things grow because we don't understand how these bacteria function in our body and that they actually control 90% of the body's function. Even now, as I speak, there's studies going to be conducted about protein utilization, recovery from injury, cardiac health, and oral health, and, you know, just tons and tons of area which are all interconnected. This is what I've tried to tell people for 45 years. These are not separate issues that are all interconnected, and inflammation is the way the immune system tells us that there's a problem in the body, and it's usually caused because it's not able to isolate and find the bacteria that's causing the inflammation. Well, that same bacteria may be causing a cognitive problem, and people are not piecing it group to group, but I can just tell you that since about 2013, departments of medicine that never spoke to each other are now speaking to each other. As a matter of fact, there is a whole new division called gastroenteroenterology, which means we studied, try to say that three times fast. And that means that gastroenterologists are talking to neurologists. They're talking to psychologists. They're talking to psychiatrists. They're no longer lecturing to each other. They're having labs where they talk to each other and now understand the very complex process of whereby these bacteria produce these chemicals that really have an effect on the nervous system, which is controlled by the nervous system that's in our gut. It's as simple as that. And, you know, these bacteria that are not friendly to us stimulate our body to gain weight or to eat carbohydrates because bacteria always do things that's in their best interest.
Right.
And as human beings, we have to understand that. We have to understand this evolutionary symbiosis that we've developed with this bacteria, and that the balance of the bacteria in our gut are the gateway to every problem with health we have, whether it's mental or physical.
There's a lot to learn, and I think that every single week we're going to be able to apply more and more of this information, and it's going to be, I think we're all a work in progress, but we have to stay strict with our convictions to the quality and the integrity of the product we use, and of course, with the topic today being autism, we have to realize that there's a lot more to learn, and it's going to be coming a little bit closer to home just because of the way that things are happening, and the percentages, you know, have dropped down, making it more and more common. Want to learn as much as we possibly can. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of my segments, visit my show page at Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.